السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers, entering the masjid and witnessing the janaza coming in the masjid, so it is appropriate to mention a few words with regards to maut and with regards to death. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he would write on his letters, "Kafa bil mauti wa'iba," that death is sufficient as a form of nasiha, as a form of advice. If a person just ponders over death, and he makes muraqabah and he contemplates over death, then this will be sufficient to bring his life on the correct path. That is why under the tafsir of the ayah, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, muhaddithin have mentioned that Allah Ta'ala mentions that Allah Ta'ala is that being who has created maut wal hayat, death and life. And why has He created these two beings or these two conditions which come upon a person? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, in order that He may test you. What is the imtihan? What is the test all about? أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, that from amongst all of you, who will excel in terms of his a'mal? His a'mal will be of the best quality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the quality of our a'mal and not the quantity of our a'mal. That is why in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to one sahabi who came to him. And the sahabi asked him, "Ya Rasulullah, give me nasiha, give me advice, but let this advice be short and let it be concise." The sahaba ikram, when they were asking for short and concise advice, it wasn't because they had some form of nafrat or an aversion for long nasiha. But the reason for them asking for short advice is because they had this niyyah and this jazbah to make amal on everything. They wanted to firmly absorb that little and make amal on everything. We find today there is an explosion of knowledge. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah is always say there is an explosion of knowledge. But if you look at all the ilm that is around, how much of that ilm do we make amal on? So the Sahaba ikram, whatever ilm they had, they made amal on it. They brought it into practice. They were practical. Our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab Rahmatullah used to beautifully say there must be no gap between ilm and amal. A person gets knowledge of some aspect of deen, immediately he must make amal on it. Or he must make intention that, "Ya Allah, whenever I get the next opportunity to make amal, to bring it and implement it into my life, I must implement it." Then we'll find a person will progress in life. So Allah Ta'ala looks at the quality. So the sahabi asked, "Ya Rasulullah, give me advice, short advice." So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, "Idha qumta fi salatika fasalli salata muwaddi'in." And he ties up to this theme of maut. He says that when you stand up for your salah, to perform your salah, then adopt this attitude that this salah is your final and your farewell salah. If a person is given the information, oh, khuda na khasta Allah, protect us. But if a person knows that he's about to be executed, and they've given him the time that he is to be executed after the Jummah salah, so now this person knows that this Jummah Salah is the last Salah of his life. Now what will he be his condition and how will he perform that Salah? When he knows this is my last opportunity to make amal, to worship Allah Ta'ala, to get some form of investment in the Akhirat, which is the ultimate investment. So now the person will perform that Salah with a different kayfiyat, with a different feeling. He will be totally focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he will say Allahu Akbar, when he will raise his hands for takbir at tahreema, he will throw everything behind him. He will cast everything behind him. And now his total connection and his focus will be only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on akhirat, on jannat jahannam, on qiyamah. So if this condition and kayfiyat comes in a person's life in every single amal, then we'll find this person, his whole life will come on track. That is why, as Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَىٰ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. That when the morning comes, do not wait for the evening. And when the evening comes, do not wait for the morning. In other words, take every day to be your last day. Because we can see what is happening around us. People are leaving this world within seconds. A person is here, car accident, and he's gone. So a person has to ensure that his life is in order and he is ever ready. He is always ready for his death. And again, subhanAllah, another beautiful example of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi comes to mind. The example of the rechargeable lights which we have in our homes and in our masajid. So we find that this light is always connected to the plug and it is charging. It is charging. At the moment that electricity is shut down or there is some outage, then immediately we find that the light switches on and it brightens our homes and our masajid. So he says, in the same way, in the form of our a'mal, we are charging that emergency light in the forms of our tilawat of Quran Sharif, our adhkar, our salah, our charities, the fulfillment of the rights of our parents, our wives, our children. Now all these things, they are charging that emergency light. And then when the time comes, when Malakul Maut switches off our lives, then we'll find in the qabr, this light will be a source of nur. This light will illuminate our qabr. And then we'll find a kind of brightness, a kind of happiness. And it'll be a means of support and comfort for us in our qabr. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He has created death and He has created life to test us. So muhaddithin mentioned, they asked the question, they raised the question that why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned death first, then life? Because a person first comes, first he is given life and then he is given death. So they mentioned that that person who comes into this world and he keeps his death in front of him, he is prepared for his death, then his hayat, his life will automatically come onto the straight path. He will automatically correct and ensure that he is on the straight path and he is keeping his slate between himself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean and ready for his departure. Our gaze must always be on that departure time. We are all travelers in this world. A person when he is in the airport, so sometimes a person, again this is another example of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, what can we do? Allah Ta'ala had blessed Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali with this gift of such examples. So he is in the airport and a person is about to depart to a certain country. So sometimes a person may have the first class ticket, another person may be having an economy class ticket, whatever it may be. So a person might be enjoying a lot of luxury because he is in first class, so he is sitting in the first class lounge. Another person may be sitting in the economy class, so he's just chairs or whatever it is, not that comfortable. But whether it is the person in the first class lounge or the person in the economy class lounge, each and every one of them have their gaze on that departure time. It must not be that he becomes so engrossed in the luxuries of that departure lounge that he misses his flight. So in the same way, we in this world, our gaze must always be on our departure time. That we do not know when the angel of death will knock on our doors and will call us. And then it is too late. So therefore a person who is always ready for his death, we find that this person, subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala will give him great stages in the akhirah. So look at this person, subhanallah, I was mentioning to the brother, what a mubarak day. Sometimes we are very judgmental of people. We do not know which amal a person does. Sometimes in the darkness of night, a person outwardly may not be very, very pious. And we who stand here in this position, we have the garb of piety and we seem to be white from head to toe. But whether our hearts are white or not, that is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows. So a person sometimes, he may not be outwardly presenting Islam or very, very deendar. Of course, we, each and every one, should ensure that he brings the sunnahs into his life. Because that is the path to success. But we shouldn't judge other people. For that person, we do not know. Every night when he goes to sleep, he may be saying, Ya Allah, I'm a very, very sinful person, but I love the pious. And how I wish I can become pious. So we do not know, in his heart he may have had this regret, this remorse. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can do as he pleases. So Allah ta'ala knows the condition of a person's heart. And then Allah ta'ala sometimes gives this person such a maqbool, such a mubarak death, which we all envy. But the general rule is, as you will live, that is how you will die. A person, if he lives his life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is great hope that he will pass away in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at history, we will find the same theme right through. The great muhaddithin, we look at one muhaddith. He would always quote ahadith and he will always be engaged in imparting the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he came to his last few moments, so his students asked him with regards to one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They wanted him to recite the kalima, so they didn't know how to ask him or initiate him to recite the kalima. So they asked him with regards to the chain of narrators, with regards to the hadith about whoever recites the kalima and passes away with iman. So he started reciting the whole chain in his last few breaths of his life. And then he came to the qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the actual hadith. Man qala la ilaha illallah, and he passed away. And he didn't even complete the hadith. So ulama ikram explained that he actually practically completed the hadith, because the rest of the hadith is dakhala al-jannah. Man qala la ilaha illallah, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. That person whose last words are the kalima la ilaha illallah, he will enter jannah. So he recited La ilaha illallah and he left the hadith incomplete for us to complete on his behalf. He recited La ilaha illallah and he entered Jannah. Then we look in our times, our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, we know his life would be in du'as. Whenever we would look at Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, before his bayans, du'as. After his programs, du'as. And he taught us how to make du'a. He taught us how to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him leave this world in front of his house with his hands raised before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you will live, that is how you will die. So that is why we should always ensure that we are never ever in the wrong places. For we never know. Sometimes a person may be engaged in sins and that could be his last moment. A person is on his cell phone and he's hooked to some filthy site. And one never knows. A person, suddenly the angel of death can come and extract his soul and he can leave this world with that cell phone on his chest. And then when the parents, the wife, the family members come, they pick up the body and they pick up that cell phone, what do they see? The last thing that this person was on is some filthy sight. Imagine what embarrassment, what disgrace it will be. And in the same way, our Hazrat Rahmatullah is always say that make sure our houses are clean. Sometimes we have got certain things in our homes that if we have to leave this world, and if other people come and open our homes, and Hazrat Rahmatullah used to always give the example of one particular family in Johannesburg region, where the entire family was wiped out in a car accident. The entire family was wiped out in a car accident, so family members and relatives had to go and open the home. So these people then came to Hazrat Rahmatullah and explained how shocked they were. When people who outwardly seemed very, very deendar, but when their homes had to be sifted for inheritance purposes, the kind of things that came out from the cupboards was very, very disappointing and shocking. So sometimes the husband feels that if I pass away, the wife will sort out things. And the wife feels that if I pass away, then the husband will sort out things and put all those things away. But remember, Allah Ta'ala is watching. And if Allah Ta'ala wants to disgrace a person, then who can stop it? That is why we must make tawbah from all forms of sins and be ever ready for this death. We are living in a time, respected elders and brothers, where people are just leaving this world and we just don't know when, who can be next. So that is why we have to always be ready. Sometimes Shaitan will come. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمْ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Under the tafsir, ulama-i kiram explain that Shaitan will come and he will deceive the person. Shaitan will tell you that you're still young. You're still young, you're not old. So carry on, enjoy life, later you can change life. First you have to taste all these things and you have to enjoy it, and then later on you can change. So at that time you have to tell Shaitan and you have to respond to Shaitan and you have to backchat. Like that, we shouldn't backchat our elders, our parents, but we should backchat Shaitan. And then we should tell him that I don't know, the next second I could leave this world. Haven't I seen how many young people have passed away? Friends, family members, so young they were, and they left this world. 14-year-old child passed away recently. Look at that. So a person never knows when his death could come. So that is why we should always be ready for this mort and for this death. I had intended speaking on something else, but looking at the janazah, I felt it appropriate to mention a few words with regards to this. That if we look at this death and this janazah, a person goes to the qabr, he should make this muraqabah, he should look at that pit and that hole. And sometimes a person will say, but Marana, life will become so boring, you won't be able to enjoy anything. So just that much is required to bring our lives on track. Sometimes a person is sick, so sometimes the doctor has to give him bitter medication. Sometimes he even requires an injection. So now the doctor won't whole day give him an injection. He would probably just give him one jab, and inshallah after that he will come on track. So sometimes we just need to make that little bit muraqabah to bring our lives on track. So a person, when he goes to the janazah, instead of whiling his time away talking about business and all other aspects, let us sit and contemplate and remain silent and look at that qabr and look at that body being lowered into the qabr, and then use our imagination and imagine that what if that is me? And my body is now being carried. And now my body is being carried on people's shoulders. And now my body is being lowered into the qabr. So a person in this world, whatever condition he may go through, sometimes the person is very, very wealthy. Sometimes the person goes through a lot of sickness in his life. Sometimes the person is suffering financial problems. But the end of it all, death will come and then the true life will commence. So a person who is wealthy, it is a test for him also. His test is that he has to use his wealth in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has to make shukr over that wealth. If he uses that wealth in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he uses his wealth, especially now look at this period of December. So many people, they are using their wealth for the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cinemas, theaters, gambling dens, all types of festivities and programs and celebrations. Now a person has to have wealth to be able to do these things. So now when a person is using his wealth in this way, that wealth is becoming a means of his destruction. So that wealth, sometimes we always look up and we feel that wealth is something which is very, very great. But sometimes a person, if he doesn't use his wealth correctly, that wealth can be a means of taking to the fire of Jahannam. And in the same way, a person who uses his wealth in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the causes of deen, in assisting the poor and the needy, in the fulfillment of the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that wealth can be a means of great stages in Jannat and in Akhirat. And on the other hand, a person who is poor, then this person, if he exercises sabr in that poverty or in that sickness, then that sickness and that poverty will be a means of very, very high stages in Jannah. But on the other hand, when sickness comes and this person starts complaining and he starts harboring ill feelings against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we find that this same sickness will be a means of destruction for him. So each and every one are being tested in different ways. Sometimes a person has got wealth, but he doesn't have health. Sometimes a person has health, but he doesn't have wealth. Sometimes a person has health, wealth, but we find that his children are not well. So in different ways, different people are being tested. We are all being tested and we all have to ensure that we pass our test in whichever level it may be. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability to always be prepared for this death. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a mubarak and a very, very blessed death. That is why a person must never ever become proud. He must never ever become proud of his a'mal and his good deeds or his good actions and his activities of deed, because we do not know. Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, waha dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. whether a person lives as a pious person in this world, whether a person lives as, so to say, not a very pious person, the real thing which is left to be seen is in akhirat how the person will fare. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to give the example, and is actually the example of Shah Abdul Ghani Rahmatullah Ali, that a bride was being beautified and adorned for her husband. She was being adorned and beautified for her husband. And all the ladies who were around her, they started complimenting her, and they started praising her beauty and how beautiful she looks and this and that. She remained silent, and suddenly she started tearing. So they explained, this is not the occasion for crying and tearing. Why are you tearing? So she said that, y'all are praising me. Y'all are, you know, very happy with my appearance. But what if I go to my husband, and what if he is not happy with the way I appear? What if my appearance is not pleasing to him? So this made her cry. So they say, ulama-i-kiram, they use the same example. And they say that people can praise us in this world, people can have good opinions of us in this world, but on the day of Qiyamah, when we present ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that time, if Allah says that, oh my banda, I am pleased with your amal, then we can say that we have succeeded. Otherwise, there is nothing to be proud of. A person sometimes leads his life in great piety. The ulama-i-kiram have given the example of, given the incident of a muadhin who was delivering adhan for 40 years. For 40 years delivering adhan. A person was making tawaf of the Kaabatullah, and he heard one person making one dua, oh Allah, let me pass away with iman, oh Allah, let me pass away with iman, oh Allah, let me pass away with iman. After he completed, the person approached him and said, what is this? You're only making one dua. He said, I had a brother who delivered adhan for 40 years. But when he came to his last moments of his life, so we were all seated around him, and he called for the Quran Sharif. So we became very, very excited. He's calling for the Quran Sharif. He then placed his hand on the Quran Sharif and he says, that I make you all witness, I am free from whatever is in this Quran. And he passed away in this condition. He says, I was totally shocked and dumbfounded. He said, my second brother came and delivered adhan for another good couple of years. And exactly the same thing happened when he passed away. When he came to his last moments of his life, he called for the Quran and he did exactly the same thing. That is why this is one fikr I have. Leave everything else. If I pass away with iman, I succeeded. So they asked him, what is it? There must be something that they did, that this condition had come upon them. So then he explained that they were delivering adhan, and when they would go up in those days, they would climb up the mimbars, the minaret, they would climb on top. And when they would deliver the adhan, so they were able to look into the courtyards of people. And sometimes the women folk would be in the courtyards doing their household chores, and they would not dress properly. So they would give the adhan, but they would also stare at this woman. Because of this action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived them of iman. That is why we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all of us death on iman. Allah ta'ala must become pleased with us, and Allah ta'ala must give us the tawfiq to do such a'mal which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give the marhumin high stages of Jannah, give the family kith and kin, sabr jameel, ajr azim. Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties of all the Muslims throughout the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.